for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Wednesday evening, October the 27th, 2004. Ninth annual Minister's Deliverance Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dr. Bill Noe of Lake Hamilton Bible Camp is a teacher.
And the next day she called me and she said, she came to class the next day and she got there early. And she said, I was typing at the office today and the Lord spoke to me and said, you need to bind. He said, when you're typing the manuscript, you need to bind the demon in the computer. And so I laid my hands on the computer and on the scroll and on the monitor and the keyboard. And I said, demon, in the name of Jesus, I bind you. And she said, then it just all came back. And there it was. It all there. Everything I typed was there. It was just correct. And she said, I just printed it off. And here it is. I said, now, wait a minute. You tell me you actually believe that a demon got into that piece of electronic equipment and messed it up so that you couldn't. He said, yeah. I said, oh, come on. Now, this is the 20th century. You don't really believe that medieval superstition, do you? She said, no, you're not going to talk me out of it. I said, good. Then I'll let you witness it to the class. So about I had a new computer, and so I'd given my old computer to my treasurer of the Christian school, the lady who had been treasurer of the Christian school. Her son was going to college, and so I hired a professional to come to take everything off but Word and Windows and Word and take all my personal stuff off and put it on another computer. And so I gave this boy this computer. And his mother said, it's doing fine, but it keeps crashing on him. I said, really? I said, well, tell him to put his hand on it and bind the demon in it. He said, okay. So she called him. He said, Dr. Noel said, do what? He said, bind the demon in the computer. He said, well, I waited. He told me, he said, I waited until my roommate was out of the room. And I put my hand on it and I said, demon, I bind you in the name of Jesus. I said, well, it hadn't crashed since then. So you, praise God, when your electronic equipment doesn't work, think that the enemy might be harassing you a little bit and come against him. But Jesus said, I give you authority over all the power of the enemy. Now, it might not be a demon. But it might be. And you can, that's one thing you don't have to call a technician to do. You can do that. If you're like me, I don't know a lot about computers. I have to depend on somebody to come help me. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Let's all stand. Would you all stand and pray with me, please? Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord. Lord, we ask for an outpouring of your Spirit now, Lord God. I ask you to open the eyes of the people, Lord God. Open their ears that they might hear, their eyes that they might see, Lord. I loosen the spirits of wisdom and knowledge that their understanding will be opened, Lord, and they will behold you in your glory and what you have for them and what is the hope of their calling, Lord. That your word, Lord, will go down into their heart and touch them, Lord, and bring them to that point of understanding, Lord, where you would have them. We just ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to talk to you today about ancestral curses. Now that is I've always thought was a rather simple subject, but I didn't know that you could get so many people so upset over something as simple as ancestral curses. I mean, you know, the Word of God is very plain, even when I was a little child in the Episcopal Church, and I had to memorize the Ten Commandments. Didn't it say that he passed the iniquities of the fathers onto the children for the third and the fourth generation? And memorize that before you get confirmed. That's back in the 30s. Well, they still believe that. They don't, and you know, some of them don't believe that anymore. They have regated that to the historical document, unfortunately. They don't believe that that is pregnant to, applies to today's society. How sad. How sad. My son is ordained Episcopal priest. I had heard of Steve Bell before I ever met him down here. My son was in SMU in Dallas, and he went to see Steve and his wife, and they ministered to him. You remember Ashley? And Ashley went on to become an ordained Episcopal priest and minister in, he became a missionary to Uganda. And then he went to Yale, and the professors were very glad when Ashley Noel and the Fundies left, the fundamentalists who believe the Bible. And then he worked at a church in downtown Manhattan, New York. And then he went back to Yale, got another degree. And then he went to a little church in western Kansas where he was their fundamental priest who took down a great number of things they had in the church, you know, the visual light that said, and just a number of things that they took down, and he wouldn't reserve sacrament. He was a little different from the priest they'd seen before. He got a Fulbright scholarship and went to Cambridge and got a degree in. Is a world expert now on Thomas Cranmer's theology, and he is the conservative theologian for the Episcopal, for the Anglican Church. He deals mostly with the Anglican Church in Africa. You know, all the Anglicans in Africa are charismatic. They're true Pentecostal people. They believe in the power of God. They depend on the power of God to keep them safe and provide for their needs. You know, you meet people like that, and, you know, you feel sort of dirty around them because we have it so easy here. And those people, they depend on God to provide their daily bread and provide protection for them. And in South America, Singapore, a number of other places. And so he travels and teaches. He teaches in this country some. But I'm very proud of him. He's a... But he introduced me to Steve Bell. But these people don't, you know, curses, ancestral curses, the sins of the fathers. Now you have to understand that Galatians 3:29 says, if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heir to the promise. And that promise says a covenant, that you are heir to the covenant of Abraham. The promise is made to Abraham. Did you know that the word covenant contains a curse? Now, most people say promise. They talk about it is a promise. But it also contains a curse. I have a dissertation on called The Title of the Problem with the Curse in the Hebrew Language. And there are either six or nine, I can't remember now, Hebrew words that mean curse. And three of them are associated with the covenant. Open your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 34. Yeah, the situation is that the people had gotten so far from God, every 7 years they were supposed to turn their Hebrew slaves loose. A man would serve 7 years as a slave, and then he would be turned loose. Well, they didn't do that. Now the Chaldeans had the town surrounded. And they got to thinking, well, maybe if they just got close to God, that God would deliver them. They knew that they remembered what happened with Hezekiah and the Assyrians. And so they were trying to get to, so they decided they would turn. And they made a covenant with God that they would release all their Hebrew slaves. And after about a week, they got tired of doing the work and went back and put them back in bondage. They went out and got them and put them back in bondage. And it upset God. And it says, look at verse 15. When you recently turned and did what was right in my sight, every man proclaiming liberty to his neighbor, and you made a covenant with me in my house, which is called by my name. Yeah, you turned around and profaned my name. Every one of you brought back his male and female slaves who you'd set at liberty and at their pleasure and brought them back into subjugation to be your male and female slaves. Therefore, thus says the Lord, you have not obeyed me in proclaiming liberty every one of to his brother and every one his neighbor. Behold, I proclaim liberty to you, says the Lord, to the sword, to pestilence, and to famine. I will deliver you to trouble among all the kingdoms of the earth. And I will give the men who have transgressed my covenant, who have not performed the words of the covenant which they made before me when they cut the calf in half and passed between the parts of it. The princes of Judah, the princes of Jerusalem, the eunuchs, the priests, and all the people of the land who passed between the halves of the calf, I will give them into the hand of the enemy, into the hand of those who seek their life, and their dead bodies shall be meat for the birds of the heaven and the beasts of the earth. What he's saying there, they transgressed the covenant. Now, Abraham made a covenant with God, excuse me, in which he divided the animals in half in Genesis. You remember that? Okay. And then he passed between it and God passed between it. And so, when you are Abraham's seed, you've been adopted in, and you are heirs to the covenant. You're the heirs to the promises, and you're heirs to the curse. It's as simple as that. Now, let's look at the nature of God. The nature of God. Now, let's look at Exodus chapter 34. Now, in the Hebrew, the nature, the name indicates the nature. And God, in Hebrew, in Exodus 34, 6, starting with verse 5, him, Moses, is getting ready to go back up on Mount Sinai and take with him these two new tablets that he's cut, and God's going to re-engrave them. In verse 5, he says, the Lord descended in a cloud and stood there and proclaimed his name, the name of the Lord. They proclaimed his nature. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed the Lord God. Now, this is his nature. Merciful and gracious. Long-suffering, abounding in truth, goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, sin, by no means clearing the guilty. And in old English, in modern English, you've got a New American Standard that says, by no means leaving the guilty unpunished. Visiting the iniquity or the punishment of the fathers upon the children, the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. I can show you that in seven other places in the Bible. Now, if you look at God's nature there, merciful and gracious, that is a beautiful thing. I will take just a few minutes to talk about this. Those are two Hebrew words that are spoken of 13 times in the Old Testament, 11 times they are used together, and they're always used to indicate the nature of God. Merciful comes from a Hebrew word which means to pick up and caress in love. It means to caress in love. Gracious means for a greater body to reach down and pick up and show favor to a lesser body. And so used together, it means to pick up and love. And God said, God, show that to me. And he brought to mind once when I had punished one of my children. And he turned and he grabbed me by the leg and he began to cry. And I picked him up, and I held him in my arms, and I caressed him and said, I love you, but you're going to learn to mind. You're going to learn that rebellion has consequences. You're going to learn to mind, son. But I love you very much. I was crying. He was crying. And that's the way God feels. He's merciful and gracious. Long-suffering means slow to dilate the nostrils. You know, when you get angry, you take in a deep breath and your nostrils dilate. Well, God is slow to do that. Okay. Abounding in goodness. Only God is good. Mark 10:18, Jesus said, only God. Why you call me good? Only God is good. Goodness. And truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. My words are truth. They are spirit. They are truth. He said, I am the truth, the way and the light. Keeping mercy. Now, that word mercy, that's the same as goodness up above. Same word. For thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. Well, what does that mean?
Sin comes from a Hebrew word. It means to miss the mark. You know, you can sin and not know it. Transgression means you know it and you break the law. You are a transgressor. Iniquity means I like to do it. I don't care what God thinks about it. I'm going to do it anyway. I don't care what he thinks. I'm going to do it. That's iniquity. That's just rebellion. Just frank rebellion. You can transgress the law. You can slip and fall. But somebody in iniquity is somebody who says, I don't care. I'm going to do it because I want to. And it also means, it comes from the Hebrew word avon. It also means the punishment for it. Derek Prince says it has two meanings. One is the act itself, and the second, the punishment for it. And so he says he visits the iniquity of the fathers onto the children of the third generation. In other words, he visits the punishment for it. It says in the great atonement chapter of Isaiah, it says on him, Jesus, God has laid the iniquity of us all. He laid the punishment for our sins on Jesus Christ. And so, that's the punishment. Keep your finger there, and let's go over to Lamentation 3:23, which is right after Jeremiah. And here Jeremiah is sitting on a hill, and he's looking over Jerusalem, and he's weeping. All the people have gone into bondage except for a few. And Jeremiah has been left there. He's told that he could go to the chief of the palace guard. Nebuchadnezzar's personal bodyguard said, I'll take you and you can be my father. You always wonder why Nebuchadnezzar took such good care of Jeremiah. Y'all ever wonder about that? You have to see, Daniel was Nebuchadnezzar's counselor. He's his second in command. Daniel had read Jeremiah's prophecies. He knew Jeremiah. And so Jeremiah had a friend in high places that God had placed there. God had placed him a friend in high places. And so he's sitting on this mountain and he's crying. And look at verse 33, and he says, verse 31, for the Lord will not cast off forever. Though he causes grief, yet he will show compassion. According to the multitude of his mercies, he does not afflict willingly, and that word means literally from his heart, nor grieve the children of men. God is a just God. Therefore, he must punish transgression, although he does not do it from his nature, from his heart. But his nature is just, therefore he must punish. That is the reason Jesus Christ came. You see, Jesus came to take the punishment for our sin so that we wouldn't have to take it, that we would not have to go. Can't you hear the devil right now saying to God, God, yeah, I rebelled against you. I know I've been judged. I know that lake of fire down there is prepared for me and my angels. I know I'm going there. But if you put me there, you're a just God. If you put me there, you got to put that man you created there with me because he rebelled too. So God sent Jesus Christ to bear our iniquity. He did it because he loves you. He did it because he loves you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that through him the world might be saved. He didn't send him to condemn the world. He came to send him that the world might be saved. That if you believe on his name, you'll be saved. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. That is the love of God that is poured out. You feel the love that he has poured out on you. Then you love him back. You let his love come into you, then you will love him back. For it is God who works in you to will and to do his good pleasure. I like the translation from the New Living Bible. That's Philippians chapter 1, chapter 2, 12 or 13. I like the translation from the New Living Bible. It says, for it is God who gives you the desire to please him and the power to do his will. God, touch me with your love, that I can know your love, that I can
oh God, that your love can flow back to you. And if it flows back to you, you love him like he loves you, then you won't sin because you don't want to hurt the one you love. Did you know that when you hurt someone else, when you hurt another Christian, you hurt Jesus Christ? That he cries, he weeps when you hurt because you're hurting him. He said to Paul, 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 why persecute you me? He didn't say why you persecute my followers. He said, you're persecuting me. So when you sin against him. It hurts him. That's the reason you don't want to sin. And that will give you the power to lead. Will give you a lively faith which produces good works. It's the only way you can do it. You can't do it trying to be legalistic and keep the law. You can't keep the law. Nobody but Jesus was ever able to keep that law. That's the reason he came. So he says, if you love your neighbor and love God, you fulfill the law. For love is the fulfillment of the law. And he will put his love in you to flow out to a dead and dying world. Let's get back. See, he sent Jesus to fulfill the curse. In Galatians 3:13, it said, Jesus Christ was made a curse for you that you might be delivered from the curse of the law. That's the curse I've been talking about. The death when you don't obey. Now, I wanted to cover some curses to show you the manifestations that come forth from it. But Jesus made a curse for you. Now, I didn't know anything could get people so upset. But I've had people get in my face in this building and read Galatians 3:13 to me and tell me it was automatic. That when Jesus hung on that tree, that fulfilled it and the curse disappeared. You know, Isaiah 53 said, surely he has borne all of our grief and all of our sorrow. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid on him, and by his stripes we are healed. And that's interpreted in Matthew to say physical healing. And in Peter to say physical healing. Not spiritual healing, but physical healing. And so all your pain and all your sickness. But is that automatic or do you have to claim it? It's not all. You have to claim it. There's a lot of sick folks walking around. You have to claim the fact that though he was rich, for our sake he became poor. He took our poverty that we might have his riches. 2 Corinthians. That's an exchange at the cross that he took, but it is not automatic. You've got to claim it. And you've got to step out and walk it out. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. And so, as you seek his kingdom and obey him, you'll have enough to eat, you'll have clothes on your back, and you'll have shelter. And Paul said, if we got that, what more do we want? So let's, Jesus. Let's look at Hosea 4. Now you have Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea. Brother Glenn has spoken of Hosea earlier today. And says, my people, verse 6, are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because they've rejected knowledge, I will reject you from being a priest for me. Because you've forgotten the law of your God, I will forget your children. The more they increase, the more they sinned against me. I will change their glory to shame. I'm going to change glory to shame. They eat up the sin of my people. They sought the heart on iniquity. They shall be like people, like priests, for I punish them for their ways, I reward them for their deeds. Though they eat, they shall not have enough. Okay, they're going to be hungry. Though they commit whoredom, they shall not increase in sterility. Because they have ceased obeying the law of the Lord. Whoredom, wine, and new wine enslave the heart. Now, whoredom there is both sexual and spiritual whoredom. If you look it up in Strong's Concordance, you will see it is both sexual
and spiritual adultery. Insomuch as God considers you His bride, Jesus Christ considers you His bride, He considers you looking out for someone else to meet your needs instead of your husband, Jesus. He considers you a harlot, a whore, one who's sexually promiscuous, who's promiscuous. You see, fornication. Jerry read you this morning, and she told you that fornication was a type of idolatry. Sexual intercourse outside of marriage is an act of worship to Satan, to be blunt. That's Colossians 3:5. Okay. Now, let's see here. Whoredom, wine, that's fermented alcohol. New wine, that's flavored grape juice. That's, the grape juice has not been fermented. Enslaved, this I'm reading to you out of a New King James, says enslaves the heart. Old King James says takes away the heart. That word takes away, takes, is the same word used of Enoch. It said, Enoch walked with God, and God took him. And so they take away part of your soul. That is the source of learning disabilities, dyslexia. That's the source of memory loss, amnesia. The source of blackout spells. Takes away part of your soul. That's the source of anger and rage and hostility. Get so rage and such so anger that you don't know what you're doing. They've taken away part of your emotions and put a demon in there. Of rage. This lady said, you got to help my husband. Said, we were having an argument. And he grabbed me and he choked me. And he said, when I came to, I had an hand choking and she was turning blue. And I don't know how it happened. I said, well, you have manipulated your wife and everybody else around you by years by getting angry. I said, you just get so angry, they don't provoke you because they're scared you're going to go crazy. And I said, what you got a demon of anger. It's called a witchcraft spirit. You need to get rid of this witchcraft spirit. Well, he let me pray for him because his wife said she's going to divorce him if he didn't get prayer. But he really didn't want to let that spirit go because he used it to manipulate men at work. He used it to do, he was not a big man. And he just used that to get his way. And he enjoyed getting his way. You know about how much help he got. He eventually put her in the hospital. He came back for prayer again. I told him that I gave him some stuff to do. I have a series of lessons that I give folks, and I say, here, fill this out. Look up these and write them out and come in. We'll talk about them next week. Well, he came 2 weeks and he quit. It's silly. But obviously you don't want help. You know, lots of people come for deliverance because they want the deliverance pastor to do all the work. You know, what did the sorcerer say to Peter? Peter said, I see that you are full of iniquity and bound in bitterness. And he said, oh, pray for me that these things won't happen to me. You pray. You fast. You do the work. Now, what can I do to get rid of these? You pray for me. You work. Lots of people want the deliverance pastor and the deliverance team to do all the work. But you don't stay free that way. Well, let's go on. We're getting away from it. All right. People ask counsel their wooden idols. You see the idolatry there. Their divination rod informs them. A spirit of whoredom has caused them to stray. Y'all know what a pendulum is? How many anybody had ever seen a pendulum work? Nobody in here has ever seen a pendulum work? Okay. You know, I went into the emergency room, and there wasn't anybody there. There was one little aide sitting at the telephone. And I said, what is going on? Where is everybody? He said, oh, Aggie's doing her witchcraft. I said, what's going on? And so then they told me that this nurse, every time they had a pregnant lady come in, she would bend a paper clip out and have a big end, a little end, and she'd hang it on a piece of string, and she would hold it over her stomach. And if the big end pointed to her head and the little end to her feet, then she's going to have a boy. And the other way around, it's going to be a girl. It's right every time, Dr. Nunn. I said, no, it's called divination. Did you watch it being done?
Oh, yes.
Said, I hope you had a good time. You cursed yourself, your children, your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren. And everybody in there has cursed their family. She said, huh? I said, yeah. Read Exodus chapter 20. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 10. You'll find out about divination, witchcraft. Said, you said it's witchcraft. And it's all doctor. Next time I saw that poor woman, that poor nurse, she didn't want to have much to do with me. But I saw her about 5 years ago, and she was coming out. She looked like warmed over death, you know. And I said, what happened to you? She said, I got cancer, doctor. I said, you want to get away from me? She said, get away from me, doctor. I don't want anything to do with you. Okay, honey. She gone. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Okay. Divination. Let's go on down a little bit more here now. Now he talks about the men. He said they offer sacrifices on the mountains. They burn incense on the hills, on the poplars and the timbers because the shade is good. Because of this, your daughters will become whores and your brides will commit adultery. I won't punish your daughters when they are whores or your wives when they commit adultery. For the men themselves go apart with harlots and offer sacrifices with a ritual harlot. They were going up to the Ashtaroth. You see up there they talk about the groves. They had these trees and they cut all the limbs off of one of them, and that was the Ashtaroth pole. And then they had a house there. And in it they had a bunch of women that were ritual, they were priestess. And you see, you carry an offering in and put it in a box, and then you got to have intercourse with one of the priestess. You know, it's the whorehouse. Excuse me, ladies, I don't mean to. Hope I haven't offended you. But this was their religion. And he said, the men have been doing that. Therefore, their women are cursed. You wonder why today we've got so much sexual immorality in the land? Because the men have strayed away from God. This is a curse on their children and their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren. That's what it says. Y'all read that? Now, that's called the curse of whoredom. You see all of the tremendous rise in learning disabilities and ADD and attention deficit disorder and hyperactivity in the children. That's because this divination and whoredom has stolen their souls. Pulled part of their brain out. And so they're shaking. They got demons in them too. And so they give them, they feed the demons with a little Ritalin. Hallelujah. Depression. Proverbs says, anxiety in the heart brings heaviness. Fear brings depression. Hallelujah. We got a lot of fear in the land. A lot of people who've been rejected and feel unloved and unwanted. And because people don't understand this, they're trampled or ruined. That's the curse of whoredom. The curse of the bastard is in Deuteronomy 23:23. Says, shall not enter, said one of illegitimate birth, shall not enter the congregation of the Lord for 10 years. One is a Moabite or an Ammonite, which are children of incest, shall not enter the congregation of 10 years. What does that mean? That means that they can't come into the to a knowledge of God. Ten generations. What did I say?
Years.
Oh, 10 generations. I'm sorry. Ten generations. You people got any idea what your blood kin was doing back 400 years ago? You know, that's over 1,000 people. That pack curse passes down through the family line. Incest is the hidden sin. Tremendous number of people, particularly young women, suffer from the curse of incest. Lots of them because great-grandmother or grandmother got assaulted. And they can't enter into worship. Something blocks them from entering into the fullness of worship. Something blocks them from entering into the fullness of knowing that God loves them, of experiencing God's love. And acceptance. There's just something like the wall that they're just pushing, trying to get through. Like they're stuck in molasses.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you set us free from that.
Okay. The curse of the vagabond. This is the most awful curse in the Bible. It says in Proverbs that if you return evil for good, evil will not leave your household. Proverbs 17:13. Evil will not leave your household. Now that's a perpetual curse. Now let's look at Psalm 109. Now this is the curse of the vagabond, of returning evil for good. There's a lot of him. This curse is so perfect that this is the one the witches use. They get their Bible out and read this curse over someone, because it covers everything. Verse 7 says you'll always be found guilty. You're a scapegoat. Verse 8 says you're going to have an early death. Verse 9 says your fatherless children will wander. Verse 10 says your children will wander from place to place, from job to job, from house to house. Be vagabonds. You'll seek bread in your desolate places. Be isolated. Verse 11 says you're going to have bankruptcy and poverty. Verse 12 says you can't find favor. There's no mercy. You just can't find favor. Everyone is against you. There is no mercy. You go apply for a loan, and you got everything. You got all the credentials. Your neighbor who's got less credit worth than you are, he gets a loan. You go to the banker, and he says, no, I don't give you one. You got no favor with him. You go ask for a job. Somebody less qualified gets it because you don't have any favor. You won't have any mercy. You'll have no descendants. Your name will disappear. I see this. I saw this in the South in the families that owned slaves. Didn't have any male descendants. I don't want to call names, but the great slaveholding families that owned all the land around where we lived, there are very few of them left. Male, their name doesn't exist anymore because they had no male descendants. The male descendants they had no children, or they had girls if they had children. But their name was blotted out. They had no remembrance of them. And so what they do to get remembered, they put stained glass windows in the church and said, in memory of. So his name, to them, that was immortality. You hear these folks stack these big trust funds. Such and such is supported by such and such a trust fund. Such and such a foundation. That's their only immortality, is that their name, because they left some money, and that money's going on, and they're getting remembered before the people. But before God, just people. Don't hear folks talk like that. You hear it on the radio. The Ford Foundation, the Rockefeller Foundation, the Emory MacArthur Foundation, the object of curses, and so forth. Now, and from look at verse 17 on. It says, as he loved curses, so let it come to him, as he did not lighten blessings, let it fall from him. As he clothed himself with cursing as a garment, so let it enter in his body like water, and his oil like oil into his bones. Let it be a garment which covers him, a belt which girds him continually. Lest this be the reward of God's, the Lord's reward to my accusers. That's an imprecatory prayer. That's a prayer of evil. I hear people say that. Don't do that, people. Unless God himself speaks to you, don't curse anyone. He says, Jesus said, don't curse, bless. He said, love your enemies. Do good for those. Pray for those who hurt you and spitefully use you and abuse you, that you may be a son of your Father in heaven. He didn't say curse. Jesus said, don't curse. Now, this was an imprecatory prayer said by David. But I hear people do this. It's a curse. You're cursing. And so we use it to send curses back. Don't do that. I used to do that, and God convicted me of it. And he spoke to me very firmly about it. You don't want to be spoken firmly, I'll tell you. If you do, you know, you learn a lesson you don't forget. Sometimes it's, you know, you're hard of hearing, God can open your ears. Okay. Now let's look at Deuteronomy 28. I have to get through this. Well, these people have been sitting now since
for 2 hours.
Deuteronomy 28 is a blessing and cursing. Brother Derek Prince wrote a book over there, Blessing and Cursing. You can choose. You can choose whether you want the blessing or whether you want the curse. You be obedient to God's voice, you get the blessing. And it says, if it's come to pass, if you shall obey my voice of the Lord, to observe all his commandments which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you on high above all the nations, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. In other words, you can't go down the road fast enough to get away from them. You don't have to go looking for them. They're going to run you down because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessing the city and the country, bless the fruit of your body, bless the ground, blesses everything. Bless when you go in, you go out, you're going to be the top, the bottom, the head, not the tail, and so forth. That you're going to lend them any and borrow from none? I mean, it goes all the way down to verse 15. And verse 15 says, it shall come to pass. You notice that 14 blessings, 14 verses of blessings. It shall come to pass if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, observe carefully all his commandments and statutes which I command you today, all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. And now the curses go to verse 68. Let's see here. Going to be cursed in the city and the country. And that's verse 16. 17, your basket and your needle and bowl, that's your food. Your offspring, your children, your crops. Cattle's offspring going to be cursed. Going to be cursed when you go in and out. You're going to have confusion, rebuke you in all you do. The plague of pestilence will cling to you. That's verse 21. 22, the consumption. That's the TB. That's a consuming disease. That's cancer and TB. And you just melt away. AIDS. Consumption. Okay? They'll have a high fever. They'll have the sword, the blight, and the mildew. Okay. The heavens will be bronze. Your prayers will bounce back. You won't get out of the room. Not going to have any crops. Won't have rain. Won't have drought and a dust bowl. Okay. 25, your enemies will defeat you. And the birds will eat part of your body. You're not going to be buried. All right. Then it says you're going to have boils and hemorrhoids and scab and itch. And hemorrhoids. Now translate that as a tumor. Now when they captured the ark, when the Philistines captured the ark of the Lord, and they carried it into Gath and they put it in the temple of Dagon, Dagon fell down and worshipped it, the ark. So they set Dagon back up, and they came back, and he was lying down again. They chopped his hands and feet had been chopped off that night. But more importantly, everybody in the city had come down with hemorrhoids. And they were just in terrible pain. And the city was just it was horrible. And you know what they had? They all had hemorrhoids. That word means swelling. Now, I don't know of anything that will cause such acute pain as acute prolapsed hemorrhoids. I mean, it will incapacitate you so quickly, I mean, you can't move. It hurts so bad. And it don't stop. It feels like a real hot poker. And it is terrible. And they're the most grateful patient I've ever seen, folks, had prolapsed hemorrhoids. And that's what that word means. That's a curse from God. Hemorrhoids. It'll get your attention. The botch and the itch. The botched skin disease and itch, madness, blindness, confusion, insanity, 28, wandering in blindness, no purpose, no prosper, lose your wife, your home and your vineyard, will take your wife away and your home and your vineyard, your labor, your business will be taken from you. 22, 32 says your children will be taken away and you go blind looking for them to come back. You won't ever see them again. Strangers shall eat your fruit. You'll go insane. You'll have boils on your feet and your lower extremities. Strangers will rule over you. Things are hard. Crop failure. Business failure. You know, I'm only to verse 20 and 38. Got another 30 verses to go. Your children will go into captivity. Drugs and cults and rebellion and The locusts will eat everything you've got. You'll have no promotion at work. You'll be poverty and debt. And he says you're going to serve your enemy in poverty. I want you to look at verse 47 and 48. I'm going over this rather rapidly. I can go through it much slower, but I think because you did not serve the Lord your God in joy and gladness of heart for abundance of all things, you didn't thank God. Therefore you shall serve your enemies in hunger and thirst, in nakedness, and the need of all things. That's absolute poverty. Now, Jesus suffered that on the cross for you. He hadn't eaten in 24 hours. He said, I thirst. They took all of his clothes off of him. Now, we see them on the cross with modestly draped. But for a Mideastern man, the most horrifying, humiliating thing is to be exposed naked. Now, if you were very wealthy in the Middle East, you wore long sleeves and a long garment that came to your feet. If you were a poor man and you had to work, then you wore loincloths around your waist, and then you had a cloak you put on. But when you put on a cloak, you had to take it off to work. But your nakedness was exposed. That's because you were poor and you had to work. Rich men didn't do that. When they hung Jesus up on the cross, Middle Eastern man wore four garments and a robe. Jesus had four garments, each one of them got one, and then they had a seamless robe, which is a very fine garment. They didn't want to cut it, and so they cast lots for it. He hung up there on the cross naked for everybody to see. Publicly humiliated. Absolute poverty. He lacked all things. He bore your curse of your poverty, that you might have his riches, because he had the Father's credit card. All things of the Father's was his. He was rich because he was rich because he had the Father's credit card. Now, he was blessed. You know, I'll digress here just slightly for a minute. I was feeling sorry for myself one day. You know, I've been separated from my wife in 25 years. And I really enjoyed my relationship with my wife. And God told me that I'd never marry again. That wasn't what I wanted to hear. The thought of being celibate the rest of my life did not appeal to me at all. And so Thursday afternoon was my afternoon off. It was an afternoon we generally had together. All the kids were in school. We were home alone. And on Thursday afternoon, I was laying in bed feeling very sorry for myself. And I said, Lord, you says in Hebrews that Jesus was tempted in all ways, as I'm tempted. How was he tempted sexually? And God said, in a very plain voice to me, read Luke 8. And so I got my Bible down and I read Luke 8. Let's see what Luke 8 says. Now it came to pass afterwards, he went through every city and village, preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him, and certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come 7 demons, and Joanna, the wife of Susa, Herod's steward. That's a rich lady. Her husband had control of all of Herod's wealth. And Susanna, and many others who provided for him out of their possessions of substance. Jesus had rich women, many of them, that went along and paid his bills. That's the way I read that. Y'all read that? He had campfires. I said, I see, Lord, how he got here. Because everybody was trying to get close to him. Everybody was trying to touch him just to get close to him. And all those women, yeah, they're trying to get close to him too. I said, okay, Lord, I see. But Jesus, see, God provided people to meet his needs, to meet the needs of the apostles as they traveled. Because these men, Peter and Andrew, were fishermen. James and John were fishermen. They had an agreement that they worked together. James and John's father owned the boats, and he had servants. And they left the boats and followed Jesus. And it says, we've left all, Lord, to follow you. So God provided for them. That's the way I understand it anyway. He said, when he sent them out, he said, don't take any money with you. They don't even take two coats. And don't take your purse. Don't take any scrip. Don't take any money. The workman's due his wages. Let these people support you. Later, when he went, they said, take your money. Take two coats. Hallelujah. Okay. Well, let's go on. He took your slavery. The locusts are going with everything in verse 42. No promotions in poverty, poverty, poverty. Plagues, extraordinary plagues, prolonged sickness, all the diseases of Egypt, 59. Every sickness, every plague, not written in the book, no rest, anxious, fearful heart, anguish, day and night. And you go back to slavery in Egypt. You go back to slavery in the world. Those are the curses that you get to choose, whether you want those or whether you want the blessing. Now, your parents might not have made good choices, or your grandparents or your great-grandparents, but God provided a way to release you from this, that he might provide for you out of his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Release you from sickness, from cancer, from poverty, from the vagabond, from no grace, from disfavor. Release you from all that and bless you. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Lamentations, verse 5. List Lamentations chapter 5, verse 7 through 18, lists the results of the iniquities of the father: bondage, poverty, infirmity, starvation, rape, abuse, hard labor, isolation, sadness, heaviness, falling from the top, blindness, faint, anxiousness, fearful heart, and desolation. You can read those at your pleasure. But it's in Lamentations, verses 5, 7 through 18. I'm going on. I think that we need to look at Galatians 3:13 now. Because some people will tell you that Christians can't be cursed. Have you heard anybody say that a Christian, that a born-again, spirit-filled Christian can't be cursed? Have you heard anybody ever tell you that? Do you believe they can? Where does it say so in the Bible? Come on now, where does it say in the Bible that a Christian can be cursed? Okay. Galatians 3, very good. All right, let's look at it. Galatians 3:13 says, for Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for you, for it's written, cursed everyone that hangs on a tree. Well, look at Galatians 3:1. Now, the Galatians were a spirit-filled Pentecostal church. They were the only kind they had then. They were all saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, Pentecostals, speaking in tongues, churches. And it says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Now, that word bewitched there, Dr. Derek Prince says, is a standard Greek idiom to be smitten with the evil eye. If you look it up, it means to be smitten with the evil eye, which is a standard Greek idiom for have a curse placed on you. And why were they cursed? Because you chose not to obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly betrayed before you. They wanted to go back under the law. They wanted to go back into bondage to the beggarly elements, the elements of the world. And we said, did it occur automatically at salvation? No, you have to claim it. Okay. You must claim your healing. You must claim your release from the curse of poverty. In 2 Corinthians 8:9. Deuteronomy 28:42-48. You can be cursed. Now, I need to point out to you in Judges 9:20-23, it says that God sent a spirit of ill will against Abimelech and the men of Shechem. And verse 56 says, God repaid Abimelech and the men of Shechem, fulfilling the curse spoken of by Joab. Now, what am I talking about? I'm talking about a curse spoken when you've been wronged or someone has wronged you. If you read that, you will see that Abimelech was a son of Gibeon or Jeroboam by a harlot from Shechem.
my concubine. And he had 60 or 70 kids by his regular wife. And so when he died, Abimelech went down to Shechem and said, you want that dumb boys to rule over, you want me, your own flesh and blood. So he got a whole bunch of his friends from Shechem, and he went out and he killed all of them, but one of them got away. And so when they were crowning Abimelech king, Joram stood on the Mount of Cursing and spoke a curse upon them. And it's a page and a half in the Bible. But he basically said, if everything's been right and you treated your, and you've done right and Abimelech's done right, may you be blessed. But if not, may fire come out of Abimelech and destroy you, and may fire come out of the men of Shechem and Bethmoth and destroy Abimelech. And then Abimelech ruled for 3 years, and God sent a spirit of ill will between the men of Abimelech and the men of Shechem. And the curse came to pass, and they killed each other, according to the curse spoken by Joram, through a spirit of ill will sent by God. If you have wronged someone, they have a right before God to curse you. We'll start here with verse 23, Matthew chapter 5. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift before the altar and go your way first and be reconciled with your brother, then come offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly. I used to think that meant the devil. But it doesn't. It means somebody that you have wronged, your brother. While you're on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge, and the judge hand you the officer, and you be thrown to prison. That's sort of like the man, you know, up in Matthew 18 that got thrown into prison. I think the New International says thrown in prison, and King James says tormentors, and the New King James says torturers. Very unpleasant place to be. Assuredly, I say, you shall not get out till you pay the last penny. Paul says, as much as it depends on you, live at peace with your neighbor. All I can say is, if you really hurt someone, try to make it right. Do the best you can. Now, a lot of folks don't like it, particularly if they've stolen money or something. They got to go give the money back. I'll ask God and confess the sin, but don't ask me to give the money back. Give back what I've taken. God says you're supposed to give it back and add a trespass offering 20%. Okay? But you need to make it right. If you don't, you're living under a curse. It also says that in Luke chapter 6, 12:58. Luke 12:58, I'm sorry, not chapter 6. Luke 12:58. Did I say to you, love your enemy? Bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who spitefully use you, and persecute you, and may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his son to live. Now I'm going to tell you, we've read about all these curses that come down to the family line. And God woke me up this morning, and he said, you need to tell the people that this applies to nations as well as individuals. That we need to confess the sins of our fathers in this nation. The sins of our nation, and ask forgiveness, and ask that the curse be broken. Remember, if there had been 50 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah, God wouldn't have destroyed. Then got down to 10. If there's a righteous remnant, the wrath of God will not come. We need a righteous remnant in the nation to pray. We need a righteous remnant to pray that God will raise up righteous men for us and break the curse. We need to pray for Israel. We need to pray for the Muslim nations around Israel that God will touch them with salvation. We need to confess their sins and say, oh God, and intercede for them as Abraham did for Sodom and Gomorrah. And say, oh God, touch them, Lord. Pray for the Christians who are persecuted in those lands because there is a righteous remnant in that land that's being persecuted. And God loves them. And he's called upon his people to stand. His people to stand for righteousness. Stand for the peace of Jerusalem. Do you know that in China today there's a Back to Jerusalem movement? There are a million Chinese Christians who are committed to taking the word of God back to Jerusalem. And they're moving across the Silk Road, the three portions of the Silk Road. They're moving out into the Muslim nations and settling and witnessing Jesus Christ and moving forward to take the word back across and Christianize these Muslim nations. We need to pray for them. We need to pray for them. I mean, these people are giving their lives because God has called them. I thank God for them. I just thank God for them. Praise the Lord. Brother, Brother Chris, there's a book here. It's a book that you give people to, that you want, they want prayer. And in it, it talks about the sins of the fall. It talks about the heritage, where they came from. You can tell a lot about the kind of sins, about the kind of familiar spirits, you know. I meant to talk about familiar spirits today. Because the familiar spirits assigned to your family will determine what kind of curse that comes on you. And you can look back at your family and take a family history. I used to take a medical history before I prayed for anybody. So I would know what kind of infirmity would come down, is coming down through that family line. And so you need to ask them, what did your grandma die of? What kind of organizations did they belong to? Were they German? Were they Spanish? Were they Hispanic? Were they American Indians? Were they Hindus? And then you go on and find out, were they in astrology? Were they in divination? This book covers all that. I would recommend it highly. I think you can probably download it off of his website. Does he have this on the website? Okay. I have some, that's some in there. There are about 30 or 40 of them back there. But I recommend it to you very highly. Another thing is just a simple working tool. Give them this to fill out. You know, they won't fill this out. They really don't want. They're not desperate. Deliverance is for desperate people. Deliverance is for people who desperately want to change. They'll fill it out. They don't fill it out. They're not willing to do that. Praise God. Let's quit. I could talk another hour and a half, but I think it's time to pray. Everybody stand up and get their blood circulating in their feet, out of their feet and the fanning and back up to their brain. Stand up and jump up and down a little bit and get your blood moving so we can pray for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, God, we praise you and we bless you and we glorify you. We praise your name, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, God, we praise you and we bless you and we glorify you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Say, dear Lord, I love you. I believe that Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the Son of God. He was manifested in the flesh. He died on the cross for my sin, was raised for my justification, ascended into heaven, sits on the right hand of the Father, ever to make intercession for me. God is my Father. Jesus Christ is my big brother. I am a child of the living God. I have been accepted in the Beloved. I am not a rejected child. I am a child of God. I bind the spirits of fear. I bind the spirits of pride. All the Amorites. All the Hittites. I bind them in Jesus' name. Command them to leave me. I confess the sin of my fathers. I confess my sin, and I break the curse, for it is written in Galatians 3:13, Jesus was made a curse for me, that I might be delivered from the curse of the law. Thank you, Lord. I break the curse of incest, of illegitimacy, of whoredom, of the vagabond, in the name of Jesus. I confess the sin of idolatry, of the occult,
In the name of Jesus, I break any oaths, any covenants made by anyone, any ungodly covenants made by anyone on my behalf. In the name of Jesus, I loose myself. I tell these demons that I am the bride of Christ. They are not married to me. They have no right, no memorial, no heritage in this place. I bind them and I cast them out. For it is written in Joel 2:32, anyone calls upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Leave me now in Jesus' name. You know, take a deep breath now. Turn them loose now. Turn them loose. Turn them loose now. I break the curses now. Turn them loose. Come on out. All of you now. Bind you and break your power there. You leave them. Everybody take a deep breath and cough now. Take a deep breath and cough now. Come on out. All you spirits of whoredom, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Cough now. All you spirits of whoredom, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I break your power. Everybody cough. I want everybody in here to cough. In the name of Jesus, come out now. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out, all of you. All you sexual fantasy spirits, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All sexual fantasy, I bind you and I break your power and I command you to go. Go in the name of Jesus. I break the curses in Jesus' name. I break all the curses of fantasy and idolatry in the name of Jesus Christ. And I break the power and I command them to go. Go. All the spirits of pornography, go in the name of Jesus Christ. They come in through watching television in the name of Jesus. Go. Everybody cough. Everybody cough. In the name of Jesus. All self-pleasuring spirits. All spirits of incubus and succubus, go in the name of Jesus Christ. I break your power. Cough in the name of Jesus. Everybody cough. Cough and push them out now in Jesus' name. Come out of there in the name of Jesus Christ. Would you hold them in? Come on out of there in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, out, out. Everybody, come on out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, out, out. All you spirits of greed and covetousness, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on out, 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 out. All you spirits of selfishness, self-centeredness, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you and I break your power and I command you to leave God's people now. Now speak the spirit Jezebel. Jezebel, I know you are there. And I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. And I break your power. I isolate you from all other spirits. You've got no power, authority, many other spirits. I bind you and I break your power. And I break the power of witchcraft, mind control over these people. I break all false covenants, all evil soul ties. In the name of Jesus, and I command them to go. Everybody call. Come out. Come on out now. Leave them. Come on out. All you condemnable spirits, come out of them in the name of Jesus Christ. Out of them in the name of Jesus. Out. 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 I'll break your power in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out of there. Let the love of God flow in now, Lord God. Oh, Lord, let your love flow in, Lord. Lord, I just ask you, Lord, to touch them now with your love, that they will know the love of God. Open your mouths. Look up and just open your mouths and let it flow in. For you've all been made to drink of one spirit. Just drink it in now in the name of Jesus. Let it flow into them. For it's your love that delivers. It's your love that heals. It's your love that sets free, Lord. Just touch them with your love, Lord. Melt the foundation of the throne of the enemy, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, just flow into them now, Lord. I release into them now, Lord God, a knowledge of you. A knowledge of you, Lord. And all God's people said, amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And hallelujah. Praise God.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.